Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Word of God we're going to focus on today is our first lesson from Joshua 24, the last chapter of Joshua. It's on pages 3 and 4 if you have a service folder and like to follow along as we talk about the Lord's encouragement to choose serving the Lord. In Christ, dear fellow redeemed. This time last week, I was in Encampment, Wyoming, with a fresh foot of snow that has just fallen or just finished falling. We were trying to decide whether we're going to leave and drive through it or wait another day. I was talking with someone this morning before church about how when I was younger, I thought we should drive through anything. Now that I'm older, I don't even want to walk outside when it's snowing, let alone drive in it. And Paula always used to tell us not to go when it was bad, and now she's the one that's always eager to go. So we were going to go, and then last minute changed her mind, and so we didn't go. We ended up staying another day. But it's kind of funny how things change over time with stuff like that. Another area I noticed where it really changes is when I go to bed at night, used to be just needed a sheet over me. Now I got four blankets and one of them's weighted, and man, I'm wondering where the other ones are because I'm always freezing. And it used to be Paula had all these blankets all over. Now she throws them all off. She likes the light on in the room. I like the light off. She likes the TV on. I like the TV off. It's kind of interesting how things have switched around and all these different choices made about light or no light as we go to bed, but I guess those kind of choices don't really matter a whole lot. You know, eventually I can just put on one of my sermons and fall asleep whether there's light on or not, just like you guys all do. That's just the way it works. But today God comes to us and he really tells us about a choice that, man, makes a big difference. Not as far as our salvation, because our salvation is never our choice. Think about what Jesus said. You did not choose me, but I chose you. God comes to us and gives us the gift of faith. God had went to the Israelites and made them his chosen people. Nothing special about them, but God had made them his people. It was his doing, not their doing. So the choice for us is, now that God has made us his people, he's given us this gift of faith, are we going to serve the Lord or are we going to serve other gods? Because just like with the Israelites, our choices might not be the gods of the Amorites or the gods of the Egyptians. But there are some gods that we at times choose to serve, don't we? My own comfort. My own desire not to ruffle feathers or create myself some problems when I talk with other people. There's all kinds of gods that we choose to serve instead of the one who lived and died in our place. So that choice that was laid in front of the Israelites by Joshua after they had conquered the promised land at the end of the book of Joshua is the same one that's before us really every day of our lives and a lot of the decisions we make every single day. Choose who you're going to serve. Choose to serve the Lord is God's encouragement to us. Now for the Israelites, the psalm we sang today, Psalm 111, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. And it talks in the psalm about talks about wonderful things God had done and what he has done. That's kind of exactly what Joshua did at the start of chapter 24. He went through the wonderful things God had done to bring them out of Egypt. The people that had conquered the promised land, the ones who had been brought out of Egypt, all died in the 40 years in the wilderness, right? They didn't enter the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. So now, Joshua goes over all the things he had done, and then he goes over the things they would have known. He talked about the walls of Jericho falling. He talks about how God had driven out the Amorites before them. He talks about the victories God had given them, not because of their strength, but because of God doing wonderful things for the people he had chosen. And now Joshua says to them, this day, you've got to choose. Are you going to serve the Lord who has done all these things I just told you about? Or are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites around you? Are you going to serve the gods of the Egyptians? Are you going to serve some other god? Decide this day, are you going to serve the Lord? And if you noticed, if you followed along as I was reading it to you, Lord's in all capital letters. Do you remember why? What that means in the Old Testament? When Lord's in all capital letters? That's Yahweh, the God of grace, the God of the covenant, the God who keeps his promises. The promise that a great descendant would come who would crush the serpent's head. The promise that God would raise up a prophet like Moses for the people who would be more than Moses, who would be a savior from sin. So all the way through, he's talking about all these things. Choose this day whom you serve. And he warns them about God's law, that you aren't going to be able to do it. You're sinners. You're going to fail at this at times. But he's really also encouraging them to focus on the Lord, the God of grace, who makes and keeps promises as the motivation for serving the Lord. Well, if you know the history of the children of Israel, what comes after Joshua in the Bible is the book of Judges. And the book of Judges is kind of ugly. The people worshiped the gods of the Amorites around them. The people fell away from God over and over and over and did not keep this covenant they had made with God. Even though they had said, we are witnesses, this is what we're going to do, they didn't do it. Because they ain't any different than you and I. You and I will often choose our own sinful desires as opposed to what God says is best for us in his word. Because when God gives us a command, it's there to be a blessing to us, not to keep fun out of our lives. It's there to bless and protect us and it's part of how he showers his love on his people. He gives us these commands that are good for us. But we'd rather follow the God of our own heart and our own desires quite often. The older I get, the more I wake up in the middle of the night, stare at the ceiling, and think about all the times I failed my God. When my God brought in front of me people that I could share Jesus with, well, at times I didn't do it because I just didn't want the blowback that often comes with that. Someone getting upset with you, someone patting you on the head and telling you you're a superstitious old fool and calling you a bunch of names. It just all happened to me at times. And there were times where my God was my own comfort, where I wouldn't do that. And then you read what it says in here. God will not forgive you when you rebel against him. And that gets a little scary, doesn't it? Until you go back to that word, the Lord. Because the Lord is the one who sent his son into this world to live and die in our place. He didn't have to. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But he demands holiness of us, so Jesus came and provided that holiness. He demands that sin be paid for it because he is a holy, just God. But instead of punishing me or you for our sins, he punished Jesus. That boggles my mind. It just shouldn't be that way, and yet that's what our God did. And the more you and I focus on that, the Lord, this full and free love that he pours out on us, the more we will, well, want to do things that at times are going to make us uncomfortable because they are things he has called us to do. You heard it in the second lesson, didn't you? You are his chosen people, his special possession. You are a holy nation. That's what Christ has made you through the work of the Holy Spirit. And now he says that you may declare his praises. You are his vocal cords. And he will bring you opportunities to do so, even if you have failed him in the past. He will still bring you those opportunities so that you can share Jesus with others. He did it for me this last week ago last night. We were in Campman, I said, right? And Campman is a booming town of 100. Right next to it is Riverside, Wyoming, which is a booming town of 50. And on that Saturday, they had a winter carnival where we had all these different events and different things. And the tourist board gives them money, so they hand out prizes if you win. And we had a group of, I don't know what there was, like seven. And we ended up winning over $600 and some dollars and all these different things. And so then we always think we should spend it locally. Well, where are you going to spend $600 locally on a Saturday night? There ain't a whole lot of choices, right? There's three bars between the two towns. So we went to each one of them, had supper at one, spent money, went to the next one. And then when we got to the last one, I made a new friend. So I went up to the bar and I got a bush light for some odd reason. Eric the Mountain Man became my new friend. The big guy, he started telling me he was been a logger for 20, 30 years. He started telling me his story, and he saw me drinking a bush light, and he said, "You shouldn't be drinking that." And he held up, he was drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon, and he told me about 10 times, "They don't give a blue ribbon for second place." I heard that story over and over again. But I was laughing and talking with Eric, and we were having a good time. And I started asking him I said, "Guess what my profession is?" Eric looks at me, sizes me up, and he says, "Carpet layer." I said, "No." He said, "Well, I just met some guys from Illinois. They were carpet layers. I thought maybe you were too." And I said, "No." And I said, "I take care of a flock." He goes, "You're a goat farmer?" I said, "No." He goes, "Jesus." And I go, "Well, you're getting closer." So he said, "You're something with the church?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a pastor." "Oh, what kind of pastor?" "Lutheran." So we talked about what it meant to be Lutheran, that we say it's all what God did, not anything we do. It's that Jesus did everything. He lived and died in our place. And then this big man puts his hand on my shoulder and he starts crying. His brother had died 2 weeks before Christmas. He got some infected with something or other, and they couldn't do anything with it, and they finally pulled the plug right before Christmas. And he was telling me he and his mom were there, and he was just all torn up because his brother's an atheist. And I got this big guy hanging on me, crying. And I said, "Well, Eric, I'm certainly sorry for your loss. It's easy to see you loved your brother deeply. And I can't say anything about your brother, but I can tell you that as you go through this grief, and it is grief because there is a loss, Jesus still lived and died in your place, and he still loves you. And you need to really hang on to that. It's not going to take away your pain, but it'll help you get through it." And it was interesting, to say the least. But I honestly think 10 years earlier, I wouldn't have talked about Jesus with this guy because of the possibility of a negative response. And my own comfort would have kept me from talking about it. But even though I failed my God in the past, God still puts these opportunities in front of us to be his vocal cords. This is what he's called us to do. And we want to do it because we are his special possession. We are a holy nation. He has given us forgiveness and heaven through Jesus. And so what we want to do, because he has forgiven us, is get better at seeing the chances to lovingly, patiently, and kindly share Jesus with all kinds of hurting souls that need it. And that includes your brothers and sisters in Christ here. Because we all need that reminder that our God still loves us, because life on this side of heaven is often incredibly hard. So we need to know, we need to be reminded that even though we said we're going to serve the Lord, and we haven't, but our God still loves us. And he'll equip us to do it better in the future, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we are his forgiven people. Amen.